あ、
here, happy Monday on our free day of the week here at Compound Media. I got plenty of nightshade for you to transition prematurely. Our first story today, have you been busy this weekend? I've been a little busy this weekend. Let's throw up this picture. So I did a live stream yesterday discussing this. No, not that one, that one. Yeah, okay. Man, we're off to a great start.
We should just start over.
No, leave this. I like this.
I know, but I wanted to say that we should.
And now the other picture Jesus for no fucking reason.
It's all playing by itself. There we go. Can we start over actually real?
No, leave this. We're leaving this. Okay, so one of the things that I learned in my past life as a blogger and also with writing books and things like this is it is... Tinder is another great example. That's actually the best example for the kids. Do people still use Tinder? I guess they still do. It is very hard to sit down. There's two models for Tinder. You say, all right, I think these are the four best picks. Or you find a bunch of picks, and then you rotate the order they're in and see which one gets you the best results. The second one is the much smarter approach. Because that's just going by the data. You don't have to think. It's like, and go by the numbers and go by the responses. And then maybe you can try to reverse engineer and reason why some are being more of a response than others. That's fine. So one of the things on Twitter, one of the things I want to stress to people, and I've learned this in my career as well, is as your career goes along, your strategy has to constantly change. The way you interact with people when you are unverified versus verified versus when your audience is 10,000, then when it's 100,000, which I don't have, or then when it's 1,000,000, these are going to be very different phenomenon. And it's not like you're going to get like you're playing the game of life, the board game, and you come to a space and it's like, all right, now you've got two people in your car. No, you don't ever get that memo. So it's very hard to make those smooth transitions. So one of the things I've always done is when I want to drop a message on someone or a tweet, I'll quote tweet them. So that means you have their tweet, and then when you reply, your quotation is above it. But I thought to myself, okay, I've been hearing a lot of rumors on the internets, to quote President George W. Bush, that a lot of people get big audiences by if someone like Trump, someone who's like such a polarizing figure, throws out a tweet, they get in there really quick, they're at the top, they get more engagement, and they get a bigger audience. And I thought and the other thing I know is when you're verified, like I am, Twitter's algorithm will put your tweets at the top or closer to the top. They have a caste system, which works to my advantage unfairly, but it still works to my advantage, so I might as well exploit it. So I did this a couple of times, like two times, three times. Trump tweets out this tweet. Today, Elizabeth Warren, sometimes referred to me as Pocahontas, joined the race for president. Will she run as our first Native American presidential candidate, or has she decided after 35 years this is not playing so well anymore? See you on the campaign. Don't go yet. Trail, Liz. Trail is in capitals. Now, Brit Hume from Fox claimed that Trump didn't know the reference. It is, in my opinion, a pretty obvious reference to the Trail of Tears. And it's the kind of thing where if you throw out, let's suppose you're playing, what's that game? Not categories, the one where you taboo, or $20,000 pyramid, $100,000 pyramid, and you say lasagna, pasta, fettuccine. It's like, oh, things Italians eat, right? So if something is like, if the category would be things about Native Americans, it would be like wampum, wigwam, trail of tears, papoose. So these are just words that have associations. And a lot of times we don't actually think what those associations are. I have no doubt and the thing is, Native Americans, we don't know that much about Native American culture in America, for better or for worse, or actually it's for worse. So there's just only a few of these little concepts that we know. The smallpox blankets, the Chief Sitting Bull, Pocahontas, and so on and so forth. The Land O'Lakes lady, the Braves, the Redskins, the Indians, and the feathers headdress, Cher. So he's clearly making a reference, in my view, to the Trail of Tears. Now, as I've the thing that I talk about in my forthcoming book is if you don't understand a subculture, it is irresponsible, to put it kindly, to walk in and be like, this sucks or this is stupid or pass judgment on it, not even in a good or bad sense, but in like I know what I'm looking at sense. For example, I give you a very stupid example. It's the 60s. You walk into a party and the kids are playing Twister and you're on the phone and you're like, they're having some kind of orgy. They were all over each other in these weird positions on this colorful mat. It's clearly, and that is like, yeah, you don't know what you're looking at, but you're bringing in your baggage to the analysis. So one of the funniest things I had seen online is there was a finale of RuPaul's Drag Race season 9. So that was 2 years ago. And it was Sasha Velour versus Peppermint. And Sasha was just destroyed her. And in the comments, someone wrote, hello, 911, I'd like to report a murder or a massacre. It was something like that. It was just very, very funny. And I've started using that on Twitter a lot. Other people do it as well. Like, hello, I'd like to report a murder. When it's someone just completely decimates someone else on Twitter. This is a type of slang within internet culture. This is not hard to understand either. It's not a literal murder. And you're not saying, you know, if someone makes fun of Ann Coulter and it's like, oh, and then we just, oh my God, call 911. This blonde lady's been murdered. No one is saying, A, I want Ann Coulter to be murdered. No one is saying Ann Coulter has been murdered. It's very clearly metaphorical, humorous, and farcical. So I had that same exact type of comment in response to Trump. I got in there quick, and I just said, the Native American genocide continues with another murder by the president. Now, clearly, Elizabeth Warren has not been murdered. She's still alive. So that's not in dispute. So at the very least, that part cannot be taken at face value. Second, even if he had killed her in real life, this would not be an example of the Native American genocide continuing. And even if he killed an actual Native American, it would not be an example of the Native American genocide continuing, because the Native American genocide, thankfully, is long in our past.
And unfortunately, you need to kill a lot of people before it's a genocide.
Right,
so, yeah.
Right. So if I got killed as a Jew today, this would not be the Holocaust continuing. It would probably be a net positive, but it would not be the Holocaust continuing. You cannot make that claim. It would be insane. Even if I was killed in Auschwitz itself, no one would say, oh, well, no, you would make the joke. The Holocaust claims another victim. But it would not be a part of that same phenomenon. And nor, other than, I don't believe, no sitting president actually killed Native Americans. Andrew Jackson killed them before he was president, but would bet good money that no president, you know, strapped on his horse and like, all right, we're doing this, you know, watch my back, Senate Majority Leader. They didn't have Senate Majority Leaders back then. Now, so that was my tweet. That's what it means. And I'm gonna defend the people who attacked me in a second, because I do understand some where they're coming from. Put it back up, please. Donald Trump Jr. takes a screen cap of this whole fucking thing, and go at the upper right, and he just writes, Savage, love my president. Now, as all of you know, I don't think he was doing a play on words here, to be honest. Savage is like the word of the day on the internet. Savage, savage, savage. People always tweet me photos of Randy Savage, the Macho Man. You know, that tweet was so savage, blah, blah. Let's pretend it was. The internet lost their fucking mind. They lost their fucking mind. Now, the point that I can... none of them made the point articulately. I can make the point. The point to be made against this kind of stuff is this. It's a slippery slope from joking about these types of issues to regarding them as not a big deal to begin with, especially for dumb people. Because it's like, it's something, if you're joking about, this is the example my buddy John used, and this really kind of sunk home with me. If you're joking about like child rape all the time, when you hear someone actually does it, you're used to that idea and it's not shocking. It's not as, holy shit, this should not be happening in real life. Because it's something you've mentioned many times. And then it's like, wait, wait, wait. Are you sure you want to live in that world when if you find out, God forbid, a child has been raped, that your first reaction isn't like, I don't even know what plan I'm on anymore. This is a nightmare beyond my understanding. So there is a case to be made when you make jokes of this kind. It takes away the holiness, the sanctity of something that is unconscionable and abhorrent. That said, there is a large consensus that killing Native Americans or any population is really bad. And there is no possibility that the Native American genocide will continue. Now, you can make the case that yesterday's genocide is today's oppression. Sure, you can make that case. It's not the same thing, number one. Number two is child rape, unfortunately, is not a done deal. It is very, you know, so that is where the subject would be disturbing. So then people are coming at me like they didn't know I'm Jewish. And I got to tell you guys, I'm begging you. If someone comes at me and starts calling me a Nazi, don't tell them I'm Jewish. If someone comes at me and starts saying you hate immigrants, don't tell them English is my second language. Let them just dig their own grave. It's so much funnier and makes them look so stupid. And in fact, I'll give you another example. If you go to my Instagram, please, Drew, and it was another, I'll show which one. Sorry, I should have sent you this to you earlier. It was, you'll see the one. It's the one where the guy is talking about the toucans. I think it's Instagram.com/Michael Malice. You see it? It's the third picture. Yeah, if you put it up. And the thing is, why I don't want people correcting is because when you, don't put it up yet. When you feel you're on the side of the angels, which a lot of these people do, and not only are they a good person, it's literally, by definition, I'm a good person, therefore it's impossible for me to do fucked up things or bad things, even unintentionally, because I'm inside the angels. So when you correct them, you stop them from really fucking shit up for themselves. Here was one tweet I got over the weekend. The guy said, blow up his, killing Michael Malice would be the extinction of whatever toucan Sam-ass bird species he's from. Bird, my nose, I guess. And I said, the term is Jew. You are advocating the extermination of us hook-nosed Jews. And he deleted that shit with the quickness, I assure you. But my point is...
That's it, nice, dude. That's good.
Yeah. The point is, it is so... People ask me how I handle all the heat on Twitter. Twitter and social media, I'm not one of these, oh, it's corrosive, it's evil. It is different. In the same way you wouldn't talk one way on a date as you would at a business interview, as the way you would in bed, as the way when you know on your cell phone when you're taking a dump like I was doing this morning. On Twitter, it is, I don't know about appropriate, but common to go up to strangers and say you should kill yourself or your mom should have had an abortion. Something that really there's very few other contexts where that is possible. In fact, even when you're yelling at the TV, you're not yelling, you know, hey, jerk on whatever new show, your mom should have had an abortion. That doesn't happen. But it happens on Twitter a lot. And because it happens a lot, I don't take it seriously and I don't do it because it's so crazy. It's like you don't – even if you did know me, I mean, if someone comes up to you with and sincerely says you should have killed yourself – or your mom should have had an abortion, or even like you're a terrible person, even if it's milder, you're a piece of shit. Okay. Like literally, if you're walking down the street and you have your political views or you have your views about whatever, and someone comes up to you and is like, hey, yeah, you're a piece of shit. That's not about you. That's about them. And that is a crazy person. Or at least not well-adjusted person. So... Then it got even better. Then Jake Tapper from CNN tweets this out. Step one, blow up his. President of the United States mocks Senator Warren with reference to trail. Oh no, he capitalized the word. Like literally there were news stories all weekend simply because the president capitalized the letters in one word. That's what all, I mean, and the reaction was exact, what was, here's what got to me. The reaction was exactly the same as when kids were being kept separated from their parents on the border. Same freakouts. These are not the same phenomena. Number two, and he reads my tweet. Now, and I, as you can see what I say, I go, someone, motherfucker, I'm verified, my name's right there. I am not someone who expects people to know who I am. In fact, the odds are extremely low that someone would know who I am. But this is on Twitter. He is quoting Twitter. If you are a journalist and you see someone on Twitter is verified, that is Twitter's signal to you that this person has some kind of relevance in some kind of field. And as a journalist, if the president's son is quoting someone approvingly, it is your job to say, okay, let me do literally 2 seconds of research, click on their name, and see who the fuck is this clown. Because I haven't heard of them. It's my job to tell people who this is. That's my role. I inform. So if it's like minor wannabe actor, minor wannabe talk show host, minor wannabe author, whatever, that's still a person, and it's your job to feel who, what, where, when, and why, and how. That's journalism.
Isn't writing like you got to do citations? Like, yeah, right. You know?
Whenever you're talking about someone, there's always, and again, if it's Tom Cruise, you don't have to say actor Tom Cruise, or Madonna, you don't have to say, you know, senior citizen Madonna. You just say Madonna. You say, he has my name. My name's literally right there. He sees it. All he'd have to say is failed comedian Michael Malice or anything. Someone. I don't know how to find out who did this. We don't know who. It's just so weird. It could be, even, you know what would be better? Even if he had just said incorrectly, Trump fan or Trump supporter, just something, someone. It's like, it's as if I'm yelling it in a crowd when the name is right next to it.
You're standing right behind him and he's like, who said that?
Yeah. So I thought that was so weird. And then there was a whole segment today on CNN where they said that my tweet was Ben Domenech came to my rescue, and he said it's blatant racism. And Ben tweeted at him and said, for what it's worth, Michael Malice is a very funny comedian. I'm not a comedian. I don't consider myself a comedian. Humorist, maybe, comedian, I'm not. And I pointed that out to Ben, which I was really shocked by and delighted by him sticking his neck out. That was very classy of him. The point is, this is why I often talk about how the corporate press, the enemy people, that is just shameless to have someone that you're talking about and you pretend they don't exist. Someone saying these things. It was very, very, very odd to me. At first I thought, okay, maybe he doesn't know who I am. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Why should he know who I am? And then his job is to find out who I am or whoever this person is. It's so odd. And the other thing is, you know what else? It just clicked in my fucking head. It just clicked in my head. Let's suppose I'm a layman, a total layman. And he's thinking, you know what? I don't want to get this. Trump's a dick. Don Jr. is a dick. They're racist. They're evil. This is about them and the fucked up things they're doing. I don't want to get this random guy caught up in this maelstrom. What they would do, they would blur out my name and my picture when they quote the tweet. That happens all the time. If they don't want to protect a civilian. That's not what he did. He had my name. And I know this sounds like, don't you know who I am? But that's not what this is. This is very odd. And this reminds me of, can you find the clip of when Marco Rubio was Alex Jones cornered him in the Senate hallway? And Marco Rubio, who's completely disingenuously goes, buddy, I don't know who you are. You don't say that if you don't know who somebody is. You say, who are you? You don't declare, I don't know who you are. You say, who are you anyway? And if you don't know who they are, and someone comes up to you and is yelling at you as a senator, when Steve Scalise was shot, obviously Steve Scalise is not a senator, he's a congressman, you call security. You're not just like, oh, I don't know who you are. You're like, wait a minute, all of you. If a crazy person who looks like Alex Jones comes up to you and starts screaming at you, your response isn't laughter and I don't know who you are. Your response is, if you're in Cary State, where's my gun? And if you're in New York, you're like, okay, cool. Where are the exits? What do I do if things go bad? It's so disingenuous. Watch this.
That I don't exist, and they're
I just don't know who you are, man. I don't read your website.
Sure, and they demonized me and these
Pause it. I don't read his websites. The idea that if you... Wait. So how does he know he's on websites? The idea that if you don't read someone's websites, you don't know who they are? What the fuck does that mean?
He knows he has websites.
Yeah. Well, maybe Alex just mentioned it earlier, right? He's like, oh, I've talked to you about some of my websites. Like, I don't know your websites. I don't know who you are? Then why is he avoiding eye contact? If some crazy person comes up to you and is screaming at you, you don't look away because you want to make sure things don't get south very quickly. This is not being particularly street smart here. Okay, let's play. Is there any more of this?
And then he plays dumb.
2 minutes long.
Here's the question. Yeah. Infowars.com. Does Google, does Facebook, does Twitter, do they need to be regulated do they need to be
Marco Rubio the snake.
Pause it. It's the same fucking thing as this bourgeois aspect. When Trump, during the campaign and during the debates, was clowning Rubio hard. They don't know what to do because they're all about being poofy and dignified. And he just looked to the cameras and just started laughing, even though there was no humor to be had. It was so disturbing and such odd affect. It's like, you're looking like, can you believe this guy? This guy is kicking your fucking ass in the polls. And you know this is his shtick. Your reaction is just to look away. That's weakness. Anyway, that's my thoughts with that. We're going to talk about there's more with Alex coming up, but I just had to get the story out of the way because it was so fucking crazy. Over the weekend, there was a cold snap in the upper Midwest, some call it. And there was a guy named Andrew Sitsema. He was pruning prune trees in western Michigan, and he came across these. Ghost apples. He said, I guess it was cold enough that the ice covering the apple hadn't melted, but it was warm enough that the apple inside turned to complete mush because they do have a lower freezing point than water. And he said when he pruned the tree, it would be shaken in the process and the mush would slip out of the bottom of the ghost apple. Now, western Michigan had gotten a roller coaster of weather this month. There was an Arctic outbreak, then above average temperatures, then a day of freezing rain instead of the snow. According to the meteorologist CNN, freezing rain will turn anything it touches into a glaze of pure ice. In this case, unpicked old apples. And there's a region near Sparta, Michigan, which is known for apple production. They said most apples just fall off, ice and all. Quite a few would leave a cool ghost apple behind. And they call them Jonah ghosts because Jonah Gold is the apple varietal. Now, I saw a botanist or something else. I forgot the guy's title, fake news, on Twitter. And he said this is bullshit. And it looks like bullshit. Go back to that picture. Because I don't see how all that mush would get out. Some would be stuck at the top. It's not going to be pure mush. Mush, even if apple freezes and it completely rots, rotten apple isn't a liquid. It's still like a paste or an apple sauce. So at the upper, and it's curved. So how is it going to smooth out completely? In the bottom of that curve, we've all had poured out ketchup. In those little corners, you're going to have some stuff left. There's nothing there. So the guy said this is a fake news, and I'm inclined to believe it. Now, our final story, which my rants took care of most of the show today. There's been drama between Alex Jones and Joe Rogan. Now, a lot of you, I haven't watched this episode. I haven't seen it. He had Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, on Rogan on his show, and people said that he let Dorsey off easy. My approach, and I know Joe's approach to some extent, is you're not there to be particularly antagonistic. At the same time, the backlash against him was really harsh on this, and Jack Dorsey's obviously a polarizing figure. I haven't seen it, so I can't really judge how Joe played it, although the response was quite negative. There was far more dislikes than likes on the YouTube video, which is, I think, pretty much unheard of for Joe. And Joe said, in his own words, that he'd been too lenient on Dorsey, but after Alex Jones accused him, and they were long-time friends, of being a puppet, a George Soros puppet, and kind of controlled opposition, he denied that he was a puppet acting on behalf of Soros. Jones was hitting him pretty hard, and Rogan insinuated that perhaps Jones is experiencing some mental health issues, but he gave him a formal apology saying, my apologies if you are hurt. This is Joe talking. And I've been on both of their shows, so this is kind of weird for me. My apologies if you were hurt that I occasionally poke fun at you. I have to. You're hilarious. And Alex, by the way, has a very good sense of humor about himself. I clowned him to his face on his show, and he laughed about it. He was doing some commercial for like something with I don't remember what it was, some male vitality, and we come back, and he comes to me. And I said, Alex, I don't know about what you were pitching, but I want to know how to get my voice as deep as yours. And he goes, oh, you don't want this. It's shot from all these years of yelling. So he had a sense of humor. So as a response, Alex made a video, and he really let Joe have it. Let's play a little bit of that clip.
This is what you get. So let me be clear. I can snap my fingers and go on radio stations with 200, 400, 500, 600 radio stations that dwarf even what the internet can offer today. Those are audiences of 10 million, 5 million, 2 million actually listening. But Joe Rogan and his podcast became the darling of Silicon Valley. They decided it was the power source. And then what Joe had me on was his biggest podcast ever a couple of years ago, February of 2017. And I didn't care about going on a show, but I said, Joe, you keep bashing me. Paul Watts is coming up, by the way. I'm going to come after you. And he goes, oh, I'm not doing talking points. And he goes, but Media Matters says Jones says Sandy Hook never happened. Media Matters has some edited tape. I have a right to say Sandy Hook never happened. And when the internet doubted it, I looked at it and said, I can see how people think it's totally synthetic and fake because of all the other false things we've seen.
What?
Dead babies in incubators and all the other fake news.
What the fuck? And then they edit that.
And then they sue me in rigged jurisdictions. Whatever. I'm not worried about that.
Wait, pause it. Pause it.
So he's.
Wait a minute. Hold on. If I'm getting sued in rigged jurisdictions, I'm sure as fuck worried about it. I mean, that is the worst scenario for anyone. You're out the lawyer's fees and you're out the settlement. How is that? How would you not be worried? Are you crazy? Sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
Saying, oh, I'm in trouble. No, I'm not in trouble. I got in this fight, Joe. I didn't try to climb up the butt of Hollywood and TV and the establishment like you did. And so you want to attack Carlos Mencia. You want to attack other people that you say steal jokes. Dude, you read off talking points. You say, I don't read talking points, but Media Matters says that, you know, Jones does this. That's
Wait, pause
George.
It. If you are reading from CNN and saying, according to CNN X, Y, and Z, that's not what talking points are. Talking points are where you're given from some organization and you spontaneously act like these are your points of view. It's not, according to this article from CNN, which I'm quoting and citing, someone said Sandy Hook didn't happen. Someone. I don't know who you are, buddy. No, no, no. If you're saying, okay, here's the article, this is their point of view, what is your response? That's not talking points. That is engaging with your critics. What the fuck? Go ahead.
Soros on record. I just said stop. But see, my instinct's always right.
That is so scary.
I wanted to go after you earlier with the stuff I see, but the fact that you did this now, I mean, dude, we're like a week into me coming after you. And our audience is powerful. They're real people. I mean, they changed the world. We're getting a nationalist election everywhere. We're a vicious force. And long after I'm gone, that force will still be there.
What the fuck is he to pause it? Wait, hold on. That is so fucking ominous. Wait. So Joe's audience, which is by Alex's own words, talk Alex's talking points, the biggest podcast, aren't real people. But his is? What does that even mean? Who does he think is listening to Joe Rogan? Like androids? Go ahead. Let's finish this off.
Oh, you're MMA. You got a bald head. You're so tough. I'm so scared, Joe. I'm so scared.
Wait,
right
pause
now.
It. Pause
so
it. He just said he's going after Joe, and now he's acting like Joe threatened him. He literally said, okay, we're coming after you. It's been a week coming after you. I'm going to get you. And then he's like, oh, you're so tough. You're bald and you're MMA. Joe didn't even respond. He's having his dialogue by himself. Holy fuck. This is like this is what happens with me on Twitter. Someone come after me. I'll respond once. And then I don't respond again. And they have their own arguments with me. It is insane and hilarious. Let's play another minute of this.
Scared of your bigwigs in Vegas and all the stuff you told me about 20 years ago. About the mafia owning UFC and everything. I already knew that when you told me that. You think you're so impressed with that and all the rest of your weird-ass crap. So it's just at the end of the day, dude, you've been acting like a tough guy for a long time. Destroy me. Give me your power. Show me what you can do. Here I am. See how it works.
Pause on that face. So Alex, whose audience has power that will last after he's gone, isn't acting like he has power. But Joe, who is reading from an article and naming the source, does. Okay. On that lovely note, we will have a lot more to cover tomorrow. But until then, I will wish you sweet dreams.